All right, Thursday morning, the Grand Manzana, the Big Apple. My name is Mark Fowler. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN. Got a lot of emails, callers already. You guys are really eager this morning. Well, we got a lot of great topics today. One I'd rather not have to report on, but it's kind of a very chilling story, a gruesome story, disturbing story of a woman. This made international and national headlines about 2 years ago. A girl, a young woman, riding the subway, New York City subway, was sexually assaulted in front of 10 people on a subway car at 3:30 in the morning. And we're going to meet her in a few minutes. She's come forward, and we're actually waiting for the perpetrator to be apprehended. He's still at large. And the reason why this is even more unjust and surprising that he's at large is because the whole event was captured on videotape. Yes, captured on videotape for 2 minutes, approximately 2 minutes. This perpetrator's face is very, very clear, crystal clear. And we're going to get into this in a few minutes, but it's a heavy story. It's a story that's been covered by a lot of different media outlets. It's a violation of many fronts for this young woman. And it also takes a perspective on being a bystander and their role. You certainly don't want this to happen to anyone, and how we can change the outcome. And certainly, first and foremost right now, get this person apprehended. 888-874-4888 is the number. 888-874-4888 is the number. So, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this morning, but I realized the book that I read about 6 months ago, Unbroken, is coming out in, just mere days. Angelina Jolie, that's right, Angelina Jolie has directed a movie that's coming out about Zamperini. I just forgot his first name. He died a couple months ago. This is an incredible tale. So if you have not bought a book or need a gift for somebody, and this is an incredible tale of overcoming adversity. You know, as a speaker to schools nationally and to corporations, I speak about overcoming adversity, about my visual impairment, all the things I couldn't do in life and could do in life. And this book is the utmost depiction of overcoming adversity. Zamperini, Louis Zamperini, was an incredible runner, came from a very big family, didn't have a great education, very poor, humble means, went into World War II, was on a bomber plane. I think he was a gunner or loaded the actual missiles. I read the book about a year and a half ago, so forgive me if I'm a little bit cloudy. Anyway, the plane gets shot down. He is in a lifeboat for, I forget how many days, 40, 90 days, and just horrific. I'm not going to give you, don't worry about a spoiler alert. We don't need to go there, but it's just an incredible tale about all these different chapters in life. He gets captured. He's in prison for, possibly about a year or so. And the violence that he receives is unfathomable. Unbroken is the absolute ideal and perfect title for this book. Unbroken. And then he's released. He's freed after WW2 ends. But you know what? He becomes his own worst enemy, because with all those ghosts and experiences and challenges of being back on American soil, just like soldiers nowadays have to deal with the realities of returning home to the so-called normal life, you know, what we're doing every day, and jumping into the swing of things and returning into somewhat of a normal world has many, many challenges. So do yourself a favor, if you can, if you're a good reader, and this is something that you'll read voraciously once you pick up this book, or get the book on tape, and go check out the movie. Of course, the movie is probably not going to hold a candle to the book. But from what I've read, that Angelina Jolie took painstaking measures to make sure the content and the accuracy were utmost. So that's really, really cool, because certainly a film of this caliber, especially since, you know, we're not totally out of, certainly by far, the economic climate that has been a downfall and been leaving many unemployed, hundreds of thousands across the country, people losing their homes, etc. this is going to be a feel-good story because at the end, he reigns high. He overcomes it all. And he doesn't have any regrets. He doesn't have any regrets. And a man who lived, into his 80s, still in great shape until his demise, until he died a couple months ago, was still really appreciative of life and all it has to offer. So, okay, Unbroken, that's your homework. Or give it away as a gift this way. Yeah, it's a selfish, it's a very smart and selfish way to get something that you want is you get somebody a book that you really, really, really want to read. And after they read it, they're going to hand it to you. You're going to say, oh, man, we got to read this book. Got to read this book. So commercialization of Christmas. Can you believe this? This happens every year. But this year was even earlier. In September, I was in Home Depot, the end of September, and there were Christmas tree decorations up. And my son was like, wow, Christmas is right around the corner? He didn't put it like that, but that's my interpretation. I'm like, no, we got a little while to go, my friend. We got a little while to go. But it's just unfathomable how we've really taken this really special holiday. And if it's special for you because of religious beliefs or because you get together with family or you don't have to work or you get to eat a lot of food, whatever makes it special for you is very, very cool. But it's just really become some holiday for gluttonous merchandising. And this happens to so many families. I come from a large family, and we're finally having the understanding where we don't have to give and exchange gifts to the adults. It's all about the children and the matriarch, my mother. That's the only surviving grandmother or of the parents of both sides. So that's what it should be about. Everyone's comfortable. If we need something in life, we buy it. So we don't have to wait till Christmas to get something we really don't really want and maybe offend somebody if we take it back or never use it, never wear it, etc. So is it about religion? You know, I'm not a religious person. I think, you know, if you watch the show, the last season, the show, the final show of the its season, Alan Sorkin's The Newsroom, phenomenal show, ended last Sunday. And it's still airing on HBO for probably another couple of days, the final episode. It was incredible. Anyway, there was a line in there that I loved that I want to pass on to you. The guy says, my religion is decency. And I love that because I'm not a religious guy. I was raised Catholic, but never really got into the whole, you know, especially even the whole Christmas thing. I like Christmas because it brings people together for the right reasons. You know, the whole birth of Jesus and all that jazz. Well, you know, I'm not sure about that. Jury's still out. But it's all about decency for me. So whatever your belief is it about family, having family together? You know, it makes me think about, because we've gotten so far away from the core reason of Christmas. People get more and more in debt. They don't have money. And next thing you know, they're at the mall, they're at store after store after store, maxing out their credit cards. Come January, February, they look at the credit card bill and balance, and they have to pick themselves up the floor, or someone else call 911 for external defibrillator or whatever it's called, AED, because they have to get a coronary revived or something because they go into shock. Because it's just unbelievable how much people spend. Now, I have two kids, and we believe in moderation. I mean, we actually got them, I think, three gifts. It's going to be two and two. Two gifts each, so four. Because, you know, if we need something for them or they want something during the year, we'll do it. But it's about moderation. And I believe, you know, as an adult, you should certainly have more of control of moderation. Now, when I was younger, if you're, a weekly listener to Insight, you know, I didn't have a lot of moderation in my youth and younger years with alcohol and drugs. Moderation is something that you learn later in life, hopefully earlier in life than I did. And because it's difficult. Look at all the amount of people that are overweight and obese in this country. As a matter of fact, something came out recently about New Jersey or the 10 fittest cities in the nation. And New Jersey was, I think, in the top three. And New York was in the top 10, New York City. I was surprised about that. You would think with the 8 million people who live here, and, you know, you can't go to a red light without seeing somebody running in place or a Central Park without being mowed over by a bicyclist. Obviously, that's making a lot of news lately, including Bono getting hit by a cyclist and having half his face broken. So my point is that there's a lot of people exercising. But my overall point, if you're still with me here, is that how Christmas has not really become Christmas, or Hanukkah. And second day of Hanukkah, by the way, happy Hanukkah to all our Jewish listeners, locally in New York City, nationally and internationally. Day number two. Exciting time of the year for everybody. But it's hard to believe 2015 is right around the corner. But speaking of 2015, we're going to have a little break, and I'll be returning back on the air on January 8th. Doing a little vacation thing and having some fun, some time off. But we're certainly going to be thinking about some great programs coming your way in 2015. And certainly always welcome your input, things we have done, continue to do, or maybe your input about things you'd like to hear. It's Mark at MarkFarrellMotivation.com. Shoot me an email. That's Mark at Mark Farrell. Farrell is F as in Frank, A-R-R-E-L-L, motivation.com. And we're going to continue talking about things that I speak about to live audiences across the country, about overcoming adversity, things I just mentioned, drugs and alcohol. Hey, who doesn't have a problem with that? Maybe you don't. mental health, suicide, depression, anxiety. What about self-resilience? Resiliency is a huge topic. It's becoming bigger and bigger. Workplace bullying. A lot of different compelling topics, vital topics that everyone should have some grasp and some handle on, because they impact you in so many different ways. So now, I'm sure you heard about the Sony hacking that occurred, and I just cannot believe this actually, this whole package story is like a movie in itself. Hard to believe something like this could actually happen. And that the fallout of this is that we actually, movie theaters are actually declining to show this movie, The Interview. So if you haven't heard, it's Seth Rogen and I just forgot the co-star's name. It'll come to me. James Franco. And so it's basically, the loose understanding is that basically these are two interviewers and they just do very, very easy going interviews. Nothing serious. It's almost like maybe an Entertainment Tonight based show in the movie. And so they finally get an opportunity because I think Seth Rogen really feels like in this point in his career, he should do something a little bit more professional, like, you know, elevate his material and product. So I don't know how this happens, but he gets to interview the leader of North Korea, King Jong-un, I forget. Jong-un, I forget. Anyway, I'll botch that totally. So anyway, the point is he gets this interview. So he's so stoked about going over to North Korea with his counterpart. And then they cut to, this is the trailer I'm actually referring to now. They cut to a point where he's in a meeting room and someone introduces herself, and she's from either CIA or FBI or one of those closeted agencies. And they said, oh, we heard you have a meeting with blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yes, yes, yes. And she says, well, we'd like you to take him out. And Seth Rogen, of course, with his comedic background, says, oh, to lunch, dinner? What do you mean, coffee? She's like, no, take him out. So the whole thing is that they really want him to execute in a very mild manner by shaking his hand. Won't give the whole movie away because you probably won't be able to see it. But anyway, Sony is the producer and or backer of this film, and they got hacked. Geez, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks plus. And so the emails that had been disseminated on the internet are mostly internal emails about gossip. People really lambasting different stars and you name it, actually dragging President Obama's name through the mud, through personal prejudices, etc. So I can't believe this is actually taking place. So just the other day, I think that actually, by the way, that they got a handle on actually who did this and an organization who's going to claim responsibility and or they're going to, you know, confront somehow. But so the Secret Service, not Secret Service, CIA has actually had some statements coming out that, you know, a lot of theaters are not going to be showing this, but security will be stepped up, etc. Now, this is real life we're talking about. Hard to fathom. Cannot believe. So, and actually in a Monday's New York Times op-ed, Alan Sorkin, who does so many terrific programs, including The Newsroom, that I just referred to a few minutes ago, wrote an op-ed piece, kind of a scathing op-ed piece about how he feels that the media, and he's always someone who is not shy about shooting down the media, about their actions. So he's basically saying to them, hey guys, why are you wasting your time printing emails about what someone thinks about Angelina Jolie, that she's a princess or she doesn't have any acting chops, etc.? You're missing the picture here, and you're doing kind of what you do for a living an injustice, the service that you're providing, readers, viewers, etc. It was a pretty interesting piece. So if you get a chance, Google that, the op-ed Monday, this past Monday, Alan Sorkin, about the Sony hacking. So believe it or not, this has gone, I mean, a lot of companies have gotten hacked. And I'm sorry to say that our security here at PRN, I guess, is subpar because we got hacked recently. And some emails have surfaced. And, you know, maybe these are a little bit hard to believe. Who knows? But, you know, this is the ongoings here at PRN. So before we get to a very serious interview in a few minutes, I thought I'd run by some of these emails that are floating out there in the internet world of internets, or if you're President Bush, internets. One of them says, quote, "Surprise, Mark's blind ass hasn't fallen down the stairs," end quote. Now, these are internal emails here at PRN, the Progressive Radio Network. You know, I'm not going to say who wrote them. You could do the research. Here's another one. "We lost count at the amount of women lining up for Gary," end quote. Can you believe this? This stuff has been leaked. Here's another. "It may be healthy," and we're talking about, I think they're alluding to Gary's cocktails and healthy mixes, etc. "It may be healthy, but it worked wonders for my tool." I mean, this stuff is unbelievable. This is almost more scathing than what got released from Sony. Now, here's another one. "It's not a rumor. The new PRN studios will have a hot tub and a wet bar." Now, that I'm really totally into. That I hope that's true. I hope that one's really true. Here's another one. "Can't believe Angelina Jolie can't attend the premiere of her new movie, Unbroken, because she's claiming to have chicken pox." Now, that's pretty funny. Actually, she does have chicken pox, so maybe there's some real validity to this. But how could Louis Zamperini, if he was still alive, well, who the movie's about, can you believe if she called him up and says, "Listen, I can't come to the premiere of the movie about you, about your overcoming adversity, the incredible torture you received and endured for years because I have chicken pox." And here's another one. "Why would I ever want to work for Sirius Satellite Radio when PRN listeners are absolutely the best?" Right? I think that's true. Absolutely true. So, you know, wink, wink, wink. These are the emails that, you know, we got hacked. We got to step up our security here around PRN. Not as scathing, I guess, as what happened at Sony. But that's the reality around here. If you believe that, I got a bridge for sale. And for $250, you can ride a subway. Let me hear from you. 888-874-4888. The show's Insight. And we're going to do a little business here. And when we come back, we're going to meet Elisa Lopez. And she was sexually assaulted on a subway train 2 years ago. And she's come forward, and she's going to share her story next on PRN.FM. And welcome back to Insights. I almost actually said the name of a former radio show. Where did that come from? My old radio station I used to work at. Hey, we have some listeners out there. 101.9 RXP, the rock experience of New York. I almost said welcome back to Frequency. So they're no longer in existence. I can talk about them, right? Always love to hear from you. 888-874-4888. 874-4888. The dime is on Gary Noel, the proprietor and owner and talk show host of this great network called the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. And talked about some light things earlier, right before the break, about a great book that's coming out, that's preceding a book that's been out, I should say, for 2 years, and the movie Unbroken that's coming out on Christmas Day, and all the emails that got hacked here, similar to Sony without the really bad repercussions. We're about to meet somebody who experienced the unthinkable. An unthinkable ride, which you would think would just be a typical New York City subway ride. Not a lot of people take subways at 3:30 in the morning. Some people have cutoff times. When I lived in the city, being a guy, I really didn't, because I didn't have that much to worry about when you're riding in the confines of certain streets or going up to the northern part of Manhattan. But this young lady certainly wasn't too concerned about it, because it's something she did fairly often. So it was October 20th, 2 years ago, Saturday, October 20th, at 3:30 in the morning. She gets on a subway and probably had a long day. She was tired. She's going to meet a friend downtown. Why not? Kick up your heels on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Actually, no, it was Saturday morning. And have some fun. And she dozed off. And when she came to, she realized, we're going to find out exactly what she realized, but what took place in the time that she was asleep is that she was being sexually assaulted, unbeknownst to her, but certainly aware to the 10 plus people in the subway car. And as a matter of fact, documented by a camera phone, someone right across from her sat, he was listening to his iPhone, I imagine it's an iPhone. His name is Jashim Smiley, witness/bystander. He documented the whole thing. He was in total disbelief. So there's a lot of different angles to this story that we're going to talk about. Number one, that someone can actually do an unthinkable act to someone. Number two, that 10 people were on a train and either watched this or knew it was going on for 2 minutes-ish, did absolutely nothing except exchange a few words to this guy. And we'll tell you more about the information if it's very disturbing, extremely disturbing to watch. And it took me a few times to actually watch the whole thing. It's not so much what you see, it's knowing what's taking place, because he's very clear. And number three, this perpetrator is still at large. This assailant is still roaming the streets of New York City. And it's not like pictures and the police don't have a good account of his looks, age, ethnicity, etc. I'd like to welcome to the show Elisa Lopez. Elisa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Come a little closer to that microphone. Sorry. It's kind of a tough topic. And I take my hat off to you, Elisa, because this was 2 years ago, and there's a lot of parts to this, moving parts, that we're going to talk about as the interview goes on here, our conversation. And first and foremost, I thank you for coming to share this experience and or your perspective and account of what happened, because just the other day, you came forward to tell your side and to really kind of shed the anonymity. And I can't imagine how much courage that took.
Well, it was really frightening, but I felt like the news, when it came out 2 years ago, people just assumed and they treated Jashim Smiley as somebody who, like, did something right or like a hero almost.
Yeah, he did. From everything that I read and saw on video, including his posting of his own YouTube video, right. I got the feeling that he kind of acquired hero status.
Yeah, it was really weird and
disturbing.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into, there's so many parts to this, and I almost don't even know where to start, because there's so many things that irritate me, and I can't even imagine. But so I think before we go any further, Elisa, I want to hear your account of what happened.
Okay, well, when I woke up, I just felt a guy grabbing my legs and, like, kind of grabbing my chin, ready to kiss me. So I, you know, I'm a badass, so I punched him in the face.
You're a badass. You don't look like a badass.
Oh, wow. You'd be surprised. But I punched him in the face, and I see blurs of people sitting across from me. You know, I'm thinking, oh, my God, they're in on it. So I run out the train. And, you know, I knew something went wrong, but I didn't know what. But I was definitely distraught about how something was about to happen to me, and nobody did anything to help me.
So at that point, you didn't realize what had been done, but you thought something either did happen or was about to happen.
Yes.
So, I mean, when I wake up, you know, before you even pick up the sleepies out of your eyes, you know, you kind of blink a few times and you kind of, you're oriented and you're on a subway. Were you still moving at that point, or were you in between stops or at a stop?
Weirdly enough, it was at a stop, and it was on 23rd Street. And right at that moment, the train stopped, the doors opened. I just saw blurs and then just ran off the train.
And the assailant remained on the train?
Yes, from what I know.
Was anyone calling out, wait, do you need any help? Do you need some assistance?
That's the weird thing, too. I stood by, like, on the other side, like, where the turnstiles are, and I'm staring at the train, and the train's, like, still, but nobody's saying anything to me. So I'm, like, trying to process what happened.
Did you look down and make sure everything was intact? You weren't untucked or anything?
Yeah, I was just like, I have my phone. Okay, I'm just going to call somebody. And
so you
realized
you weren't robbed at that moment?
And I just, you know.
Did you have a purse on you?
Yes, I did.
And what were you wearing?
I was wearing a skirt. Well, a dress. I was wearing a dress.
And a blouse or a t-shirt?
Like a circle neck, like a circle scarf.
So a lot of this is displayed and depicted in a video, but for many of our listening audience, we're going to kind of describe what happened. And please correct me if I get any of this incorrectly. Jasheem Smiley is the witness slash bystander who was on a subway, who had something, you know, earbuds in his ear, was listening to music. And I believe he got on the train after you and noticed that... maybe a few moments later, that you were asleep and saw that your iPhone was out. And we all know how iPhones are hot commodities. People are targets all the time. So from what I read, I believe he tapped you on the foot a few times. He was sitting across from you?
I believe, yeah. I think he had to be.
And so I guess you were not responsive, or then you were soon responsive, and then you grabbed the iPhone and held it in your hand?
Yeah, I think that's just an automatic thing.
Sure.
You know, like you have something else.
Well, it's an extension of your body, right? We never let go of our iPhones, God forbid.
Where's my phone?
So then, of course, you felt the phone. You're probably kind of like half thankful. Oh, cool. I saw my iPhone. And the momentum of the train gets you going, so you kind of fall back into that lull of sleep. And so I believe on 96th Street. Now, this all takes place in Manhattan for our audience who is not in the Tri-State area or international listeners. This is in New York City, the island of New York City. The subway system is vast. This is on a very, very popular line. It's called the Lex Line, the number 4 train specifically. And she's actually, a lot of the trains actually go out from the island of Manhattan, but you're on the island of Manhattan, heading south to downtown where it's very hip and trendy and, you know, cool places to hang out. Again, 3:30 in the morning. So this gentleman enters the train. And the witness bystander, Jasheem Smiley, instantly says to himself, this is all documented in the articles and Gothamist, the interviews on Channel 7 Eyewitness News and many other news outlets, that Jasheem said he knew something was off with this guy right away, which we all usually pretty do, especially when you're New York City street smarts. You can just tell somebody is up to no good. They just have that off look, right? So he said to himself he knew something was wrong, and apparently he sat down, and as the videotape, I think, clearly shows, it's almost like this was premeditated for him.
I feel like society now is just so obsessed with recording something and just documenting it so they can get the hits on YouTube.
So they can get a sponsor. Yeah. So this is what took place. So he immediately did see. It was almost like the weirdest, strangest, most disgusting part of this is it almost seemed like he was alone. He felt like he was alone. He didn't care that there were 10 other people in the car. And apparently, some words were exchanged between Jasheim Smiley, saying, you can't hear, it's not audible, I believe, in the video, correct?
I'm not, I don't think it's in the video.
I don't think it's audible.
No.
But, like, what are you doing? That's not right. That's not cool. You know, you can get locked up for that. Then apparently someone next to Jasheim, the witness who's filming this, also chimed in saying, hey, you know, I can't put words in this person's mouth, but basically to the point like, hey, don't do that. So now Jasheim is a 21-year-old African-American, looks thin, in shape, well-spoken, don't know about the other person. And we're going to get to some viewpoints after this, but I just want to kind of go through the process so listeners have an idea exactly what took place, not that they may not have already because, again, this made such headlines 2 years ago. And again, the reason why we're bringing this up, for two reasons. Number one, the perpetrator is still at large. And number two, you came forward and revealed your identity a couple mm-hmm. days ago. And we thank you again for coming to PRN, especially to my show here to talk about this and this very, I'm sure, painful topic. So this continues, and other people in the subway car, I'm sure there's got to be women on the car as well. This continues. He looks up a few times. It looks like the assailant says a few things. Who knows what's being said? I'm sure they can have the police probably have lip readers and they can interpret, or maybe different audio devices were able to actually EQ out exactly what he says. And then finally, again, he gets on at 96th Street. He gets off the train at...
The perpetrator?
Perpetrator.
Well, I got off at 23rd Street.
Oh, he got off at 23rd. I'm sorry,
I got off at 23rd. I know that he stayed on the train, but from what I'm hearing, you know, what I read and what the police told me, they said that he got off around Union Square.
So, given our experience riding the train, both of us, off hours, that could be that hour of the night. It could be, 4-minute ride.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because... very limited stops and not many people getting on and off the train. So you get off, and that's what transpired actually on the train.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the witness, Jasheim Smiley, he said, and help me out with the order of events here, he went and spoke to a conductor. Now, is this after you got off the train?
I believe it was after because that's, I never... Yeah. I don't...
Okay. Again, we got a lot of things we got to talk about, and there's so many things I want to intervene in and just go on a tangent about, but I want to make sure we get all the facts out. And number two, he also said that he contacted the MTA. I don't know how he did that.
I don't know.
Yeah. In his video, he posted a video, which we'll also talk about shortly. And then thirdly, there was one other point. I'm remiss at this point right now, but it'll come back to me. So now, what happened next? You're off the train, on the other side of the turnstile. Finally, the door shut, train pulls away, and you're left scratching your head.
Yeah, well, more like sobbing uncontrollably. But I immediately call my friend and, you know, freaking out. And I had that headscarf. It was long enough to cover my whole body. Like, it's a big scarf. So I used that and I wrapped myself like in like a blanket. And I tried to get a cab and nobody would stop, I guess, because I looked kind of out of it. But I was just crying a lot.
And also that probably made you feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
being held.
Yes. And then I walked, I walked to 14th Street to meet up with my friend. And, you know, he just, you know, held me and we took a cab home. Well, he took me home in a cab.
And when did you file a complaint?
So on Monday, that following Monday, mm-hmm. a friend calls me. She says that her coworker showed her a video and it was of me. And it's like one of those websites, you know, like World Star, like, you know, really trashy. So anyway, I look it up and I'm horrified.
So did she tell you what the content matter was so you had an idea whether it could even possibly be you?
Well, because I called her and I told her about how some dude was trying to kiss me and I punched him in the face.
Okay.
And
so at that point, you merely thought it was kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I see the video. I'm like, oh, my God. And I immediately go with another friend to the nearest police, the 40th precinct in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And from there, they take me to the Special Victim Unit in Harlem. And that's it.
And at that point, when your friend called you and you watched the video, did you watch the entire length of the two or 3 minutes?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Once you realized what had been done?
Yeah. I just...
What physically overcame you when you started to watch that?
I felt dizzy, angry,
did you vomit?
Sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Close to it, I imagine.
I almost fainted, but all I know that I was really, like, screaming and, oh, my God. Like, I had a panic attack. Like, I had a panic attack.
Understandable, Lisa.
Yeah.
Elisa Lopez is my guest today. She's talking about an event that took place 2 years ago right here in Manhattan on a New York City subway while she was riding a subway and she was asleep. She was sexually assaulted. So now I imagine after you went to the police officers, the cops up in the Bronx, with this video online, I guess online, I imagine the one thing you probably, without even thinking, said, well, geez, all right. Well, the good thing here is that, you know, it's clear as day. This guy's on video. They'll be able to arrest this guy quickly.
Right.
Right? What did the cops say?
When I walked into the precinct, they looked at me like, really? Are you serious? Can I see the video to, like, see if I was joking about it? And I wanted to speak directly to a detective because I didn't feel comfortable showing the whole precinct.
Good for you.
My video. Well, and luckily, the friend who was with me, he's a criminal justice major, and he was like, you don't have to do that. And blah, blah, blah. Well, he coached me a bit, which was, oh, my God, like, a godsend.
Helpful.
But, oh, God, sorry.
So were you able to speak with a detective?
Yeah, they interviewed me, and that's when they took me to the Special Victims Unit.
Okay.
Where, you know, they took down everything that happened, and, you know, that's all they did. And probably a couple days later, I went to speak with a district attorney, you know, basically told my story again, what happened before, after everything. And I guess as a witness to a crime in New York City, you get like $10, like, for lunch or something. I don't know. But she gave me money, and I was like, okay. And then she handed it to me. She's like, here, maybe next time you could take a cab.
That were her parting words?
That were her parting words.
Wow. Great legal system we have here.
Yeah.
So at any point did the detectives or anyone say, wow, I'm really sorry to hear and see what happened to you, but the good news is we know what this guy looks like, so we just have to do some legwork, and maybe he's got some priors, we ask around, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we're pretty hopeful that something can come of this and we can resolve this and get this guy prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. The detective that I work with, she was very nice and made it seem like, you know, hey, you know, we got a clear picture. You know, we're going to get this guy. And I guess that didn't happen.
So now this is 2 years and a few months after this. Mm-hmm. How often are you in contact with her or the SVU?
I've been, it's usually me reaching out to them to mm-hmm. see what's going on. I email them, I call. I haven't really been on it in the last few months, but, you know, I usually contact them first. And
are they responsive?
Well, yeah, they respond and they're like, well, we don't have anything right now. You know, we don't have any leads. We get tips, but they're not, what do you call it? I'm sorry.
Valid?
Valid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And speaking of tips, if anyone listening to the show does have any information to share, you can submit your tips by logging on Crime Stoppers. The website is NYPDCrimeStoppers.com. That's NYPDCrimeStoppers.com. Or you can even text crimes to 274637. And also, of course, you can call at 800-577-8477. It's 800-577-8477. Of course, all these are anonymous, these tips. And I believe if this person does become prosecuted and apprehended, there is a monetary sum that they do receive, I believe, through Crime Stoppers. I think that's the case.
Sure.
So, God, geez, it must be so hard. Now, why wasn't the city, unless I overlooked this, but why wasn't the city in the subways blanketed with this person's picture?
That's a question I also have. From what I heard, from my friends, because immediately after it happened, I had a ticket to go to my country, Honduras, and I just kind of relaxed over there with my dad and, you know, just clear my head.
And, did you tell your dad what happened?
Yes.
I can't imagine his reaction.
He is a very traditional Hispanic man, and he felt really bad.
You probably had to do everything in your power to stop him from boarding a plane and coming over here and asking every guy if he knows who this person is.
Yeah, and he's also really quiet, so he's just, like, angry, but he's not mad at me. Like, he's more so,
there's
like...
no reason to be mad at you.
Yeah, no. He was just, like... he wishes he could do something, you know?
We all do. We all do.
Right.
So that's where we leave it right now. This person's still at large. He's of Latin descent, from the pictures, looks like.
I think you can
30s-ish.
I think you can just Google Jasheem Smiley, and usually his picture, I mean, the articles come out where they show the picture of the perpetrator as well.
And Jasheem's spelling of his name is J as in Jack, A-S-H-E-E-M, Smiley, like it sounds, S-M-I-L-E-Y. And or you could, I guess, now even Google your name, Elisa, E-L-I-S-A, Lopez. Mm-hmm. Again, this happened on October 20th, Saturday, 2012, 3:30 in the morning. And what was it that made you decide to come forward earlier this week to a great organization who's actually been on the show before, Hollaback, which is dedicated to reducing street harassment?
When I was reading all the articles that had surfaced, I noticed that Hollaback had did a quote where they said, oh, we hope this woman comes forward sooner, you know, basically insinuating that I contact them. So I did anonymously at first, but I wasn't ready to come out yet. So today, or, you know, the past 6 months, we planned on me doing these steps.
So let's get down into some differing ideas and or actions which could have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I see this video and saw it, and I had to stop and start, and I'm sure you can understand this.
Right.
Even being a man, it was very grotesque and vile for me to watch it. And I got very uncomfortable watching this. And I got through it a few different times. I had to, you know, stop and start, as I alluded to. But the thing that, and this is just the way I'm wired, and this is, I can't say I've gotten into trouble a few times, but I've intervened just because I don't even think, I just react. Now, I just can't understand why someone, maybe they would videotape him for maybe a few seconds and or take his picture, just so if something goes down and this person gets away, he's captured. He or she is captured. In this case, he. So it's documented. This is what the person looks like, etc. But I don't understand, and this is where Jasheem Smiley feels like, and I guess everyone has to do what's in their comfort zone, but not to even stand up and go over there and physically be imposing and or to say, back the bleep away. I mean, you have 10 other people, or 9 other people, Jasheem, 9 other riders on the subway. You could even walk away a few feet and say, hey, listen, guys, we need to stop this, even to women. Let's all collectively approach him. There's power in numbers.
Right.
Power in numbers.
Right.
And, I mean, there's so many different scenarios, the way it could have come down. Even this morning, I'm thinking about, okay, I was on that train, and I was, okay, I'm a big dude. I'm 6'3". So maybe I could be physically imposing. But maybe if you're not, even if you're a woman, you go to a subway stop, the train stops, pull the emergency brake.
Right. That's why they have the little buttons with the speaker on it where you can contact the conductor directly, or even distract him while somebody else goes and, you know, calls the conductor over.
Open, when a door is open, scream rape, scream fire, anything.
Right.
There are so many different things. So, and I don't want to get you more worked up.
No.
But I do want to know, because this is a very important experience to share, because a lot of people, I myself was violently attacked, not in a sexual way, more in a violent way, by 15 or 17 kids. And I was very, very lucky to survive in Hoboken, New Jersey, about 10 years ago. But I had a lot of post-traumatic stress things I had to deal with. So what is your biggest hurdle emotionally that you have to deal with on maybe a daily basis?
Well, for a while, I just tried to handle it on my own, and that was not helpful at all. Eventually, I started getting help, going to counseling. I went to, like, the Harlem Vet Center, where they were able to give me counseling as far as PTSD and sexual trauma. And, you know, recently, maybe about a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder and PTSD. So now I'm taking the steps to handle that, like medication and therapy. And
that's a good, good balance, good combination there. And I wish you all the best there. And it's totally understandable how you can be in this position. And you mentioned earlier in this interview, kind of jokingly, that you're a tough cookie, and you are, because you are a reservist for the Air Force National Guard.
Yes.
Hell, you build bombs, girl.
Yes, I do.
You build bombs.
It's pretty awesome.
If this assailant, this knucklehead, this loser, this degenerate had any idea, not that it matters at all what you are, who you are, and what you do in life, I imagine he never would have even laid eyes on you.
No, he wouldn't.
But the thing that, again, is so terrible is that the repercussions for you, how long, and I'd think you take a subway now, but how long did it take you to board a subway again after this?
For a while, I had friends, because I was going to school at the time. For a while, I had friends take me to school, or they would drive me, pick me up, give me money for a cab, have me stay over because they live close to the university I attended at the time. Until I started taking therapy and learning skills to control
more
my emotions.
Cognitive behavior.
Right. It's called DBT, Dialectical Behavioral Therapy.
Ooh, I have to look that one up.
It's pretty good. And, you know, even just little things like squeezing an orange, you know, to smell the scent of an orange.
Sure.
Or, you know, cold can of soda, things like that.
Do you think you're in a good place, or do you think you would, did you expect to be further down the road now, or are you happy where you are? I mean, of course you'd rather be, of course, like none of this happened, but
right.
Considering the circumstances and taking those measures and seeking counseling and whatever other steps you needed to do.
Of course we wish we were all healed 1, 2, 3, but I know, you know, I'm being more kind to myself and allowing myself to heal at my own pace.
You did a response, a retort video
right.
to Jasheem Smiley. Jasheem Smiley goes on. As a matter of fact, I had to shut this video off. It's basically a selfie video of him going on for after the first 90 seconds. I had to turn off because he's just repeating himself. He's defending himself. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, throw him under the bus or talk more badly about him, but he's basically defending his right to do what he did and not more. He said, like the MTA says, if you see something, say something. And he did, but he did it after the fact. And this is Mark Farrell's perspective, what I would have done and what I would hope other people in society would have acted differently, as you do, because you have a problem with what he did or didn't do and what, more importantly, he's done post-event, almost grandstanding. Did he actually appear on Ellen, or he just sent the video of himself to Ellen?
Like,
DeGeneres show.
Well,
we're
because it
about.
Was so, because social media is so easy, you know, I, of course I Googled his name and immediately it was his Facebook. And I noticed that he was, for example, posting it on like different news reporters' mm-hmm. timelines. And, I think he did an interview with, Inside Edition, mm-hmm. but it never aired because, at the time Hurricane Sandy was, you know, coming out.
And Trumped.
It was just
Jasheem Smiley's perspective.
Yeah, right. So, you know, other things happen. So,
have you ever spoken via email?
No.
Social media?
No.
Good for you.
No.
What was it? We talked about this a little bit earlier. You realized maybe the time was right for you to come forward. But do you feel that a little bit of the weight was lifted off your shoulders a few days ago when you came forward and to reveal your identity?
Yes.
Good
yes.
for you.
It did. I feel, you know, this is part of the process, you know.
Absolutely. And your therapist, I imagine, help you arrive here.
Definitely. Yeah. Therapist, friends, my support system, you know.
So what would you say to someone who knows, possibly, who after the conclusion of this interview and or goes on to PRN.fm and listens to the podcast of this full interview, and we will post information on Crime Stoppers and a picture of the assailant at large to help apprehend this person. if you know him and you think he's a good dude, you can be quickly disproven.
Right. Let's just catch this guy, because if he did this to a stranger, I can't imagine anyone else, like, in his maybe little network who he could have done that to. So I'm sure this is not his first time probably sexually abusing somebody. Let's just catch this guy.
And we've been focused on the primary witness here, Jasheem Smiley, and the videographer, I should say. But quickly, Elisa Lopez, how disappointed are you? I know overall of the people on the train that you are, but thinking about the demographic as a woman sitting there on a train, who I'm sure there are other women like yourself either going down to meet friends or going home to Lower Manhattan, who couldn't even have gone up two or three. You figure if they would have done it, maybe the guys would have said, oh, Jesus. Well, if they're standing up, we better stand up, because they're going to make us look like, you know what, wimps.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
You know, if it was me and I saw something like that, I would have definitely done something. And I have been in a situation like this before, where I was at a bar and these guys are making these two drunk girls make out, like pushing their heads together. So I'm like, I go in there, I'm like, stop. And I'm trying to pull them out of the crowd. And one of the guys like tries to push me to make out with them too. And I'm like, you know, I curse them out. But then I drag the two girls out and they're like, oh, I'm tired. And then I watch them take a cab and I'm just like, yes.
Yeah, you intervene. Cool. Good for you.
Like, awesome.
Great public service.
Because I just couldn't, like, I couldn't live with myself if I didn't.
How could you watch that? Yeah.
Like, I couldn't be on my conscience. I have to do something. Especially, you know. Yeah.
So overall, and in closing here, Elisa Lopez, do you think New York City's finest are doing their best to apprehend this person?
I'm not sure how to answer that necessarily, but honestly, no. And the district attorney told me that that's some of the clearest footage they have of a perpetrator. And I'm just like, well, why haven't they caught him yet? Like, you know, like I said before, when it happened, I asked people, like, hey, are there flyers of this guy? Is he on the news still?
I mean, he got on at 96th Street, correct?
Yeah.
So I'm not a detective, so that makes sense. To comb the area there, wait by the stop, hand out flyers, pictures.
That's what they told me they did.
Ask questions.
But I feel like it could have been more like, I don't know.
What about doing something, not so much maybe yourself, but organizing a troop of your own to do a canvassing of that neighborhood and putting up signs?
I never thought about it, honestly.
Because I think with Hollaback, and their website, by the way, is iHollaBack.org, is it?
Uh-huh.
I imagine with their support and so many of the media support, that they would be glad to help you.
Right.
Organize. I mean, think of all the different protests that are going on nowadays.
Yeah.
Eric Garner, I mean, understandably. The people will support you. I mean, you are someone, a very young woman, smart, a lot of things on the ball. Even if you didn't, you didn't ask for this. It's a violation of everything, of personal, civil, and every type of right you could think of. And anything we can do here to help you move forward on the apprehension of this disgusting human being, we'd be happy to do. And I wish you a great holiday season. Again, thank you for sharing your very, very difficult and tumultuous story. And you should read that book.
I will. I
the
heard
Unbroken.
You talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for, you know, just thank you to everyone out there listening right now.
And keep being strong, Elisa Lopez. My name is Mark Farrell. Happy Hanukkah to you. And Merry Christmas. We're going to have a little bit of a break. We'll be back on the 8th of January. The 8th of January. Always reach me at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Really and truly enjoy your holidays, family, friends, whatever it may be. Always find our podcasts online. So if you miss me, I'm not far away. Have a great time and can't wait to see you and be with you again in 2015. Enjoy, my friends.